As Congress nears passage of an energy bill, the Bush administration is moving on its own to increase domestic oil and gas production. A recent study by the Interior, Agriculture, and Energy Departments indicates that most of the oil and gas reserves under public land in the West are available for lease with modest restrictions. But with demand for energy increasing steadily, federal land managers have been ordered to expedite the permit process and reduce environmental impediments wherever the oil industry wants to drill. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports from northwestern Montana in the area known as the Rocky Mountain Front.
The wind-whipped town of Shodo, Montana isn't much to look at. A few paint-chipped cafes, an old cinema, a boarded-up laundromat. But what's behind it is Sierra Club calendar material. And what may be underneath it, says Stan Dempsey of the Colorado Petroleum Association, is his industry's next big hope.
Yeah, if you talk about Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and Montana, it's really the Persian Gulf of natural gas.
Beyond Shodo's false-fronted Main Street is a vast stretch of plains that sweep up into a stack of towering limestone reefs. This is where the steady march of Rocky Mountains fold and finally flatten out.
I've been going in there for 3 decades now, and it just sort of grabs you.
Gene Sense, a local schoolteacher, has walked and horsepacked most of the Rocky Mountain front around here. It's a place where grizzly bears still wander out onto the plains.
It's what the whole mountain front used to be like all the way down through Colorado, and we've seen what it looks like in Denver, and we've seen what it looks like up in Alberta, where they've done a bunch of drilling, and this is one area that hasn't been messed up.
Sense, a soft-spoken, solitary man, seems a most unlikely environmental activist. But he's so adamantly against a proposal to drill for natural gas along the front, he's become steeped in environmental law to stop it.
Well, just the name of the EIS is kind of interesting. It's called, the Blackleaf Natural Gas Development Project, EIS. Does that sound like they're going to seriously consider a no-action alternative? I don't think so.
Actually, the environmental impact statement is in its earliest stages. Here in the heart of the front, in the Blackleaf Canyon, a census is underway. Identification and mapping of everything from butterflies to mountain goats. In this drainage, government biologists and private consultants are counting reptiles and measuring streams.
It's 1.3, and that's water surface.
The effort is to determine the potential impacts of drilling. It was already done once before, and the whole place was declared off-limits to oil and gas exploration 6 years ago by then-Forest Supervisor Gloria Flora.
My decision in 1997 was based primarily on two factors. One was the great ecological uniqueness and sensitivity of the area. But the other half of it was people's connection with this landscape, people's sense of place.
But industry has figured out a way around her decision. Some leases were granted in the 80s before Flora's order. So three companies have now applied to drill 4 wells based on those leases, a processing plant, and another 8 wells depending on what's found. One proposed well is smack dab in the middle of rancher Carl Rappold's place that was homesteaded and passed down through his family for 121 years.
It's been my home forever, and I just like seeing it the way it is. It's healing up from the last time they were here, and it's time to be left alone.
Rappold's cattle have grazed here for decades, courtesy of a federal grazing permit, and he shared the front with hunters, rock climbers, and fossil hounds, all part of the concept of multiple use of public land. But his tolerance stops there. His worry is that the new roads that drilling requires will divide up the range, bring in more vehicles and noxious weeds. Determining the impacts of drilling is as inexact a science as determining just how much gas is economically recoverable under the front. All but one test well drilled in the 80s were eventually plugged and abandoned. There's been little interest since, even on private land. But demand and the regulatory climate have changed dramatically over the past year. As Assistant Secretary of Interior Rebecca Watson pointed out last week to Western State Governors meeting in Montana.
I believe the American West will play a major role in our energy future. That role requires that we use the resources of our public lands. We cannot lock those resources away.
Demand for natural gas as a heating source and as a fuel for electricity generation is expected to increase by half over the next 20 years. Watson says the current rate of production can't possibly keep pace. The administration's own study found that roughly 60% of oil and natural gas reserves on public land in the West can be tapped with minimal leasing restrictions. This past summer, though, State Bureau of Land Management offices were ordered to remove obstacles to development on another 25% of public land that's more difficult to lease because of environmental concerns, places like the Rocky Mountain Front, where industry insists access is critical. Again, Stan Dempsey, president of the Colorado Petroleum Association.
So the boom is here. Question is then, when we look onto federal lands, will we be able to drill and to be able to get through the permitting process in our lifetime?
Dempsey is a member of the Rocky Mountain Energy Council, an offshoot of the White House Task Force on Energy Project Streamlining. Its stated purpose is to work with government agencies to expedite review of permits.
There are those people who really don't want to see any fossil fuel developed in the United States, and this has become ground zero in terms of using the environmental laws, not for the policy goals that they were set out for, but to use them to stop energy development.
In Shodo, the national debate has been reduced to roads versus revenue. The scars from development in the 80s are clearly visible, a zigzag of roads up the side of a butte to an old well site, for example. But there's also visible testimony here of the benefits of drilling. County records indicate annual tax revenues of $400,000 plus during those years, money that went to schools and other public works. While some here applaud the renewed interest in energy development, they do so quietly because it's a small town. County Commissioner Mary Sexton says sentiment is evenly divided.
Looking from county government, I see a lot of changes in the local attitudes here. 20 years ago, I think most people were very supportive of oil and gas development. Now I think we're a split community. We've had surveys come back that show us that oil and gas development's right in a par with environmental quality.
Recently, people who live on the front were faced with the same dilemma the Bush administration finds itself in. If not here, then where? Local attorney Stony Burke says as part of the EIS process, people were sent a survey.
And they ask you in this survey up here, they say, well, what part of that Rocky Mountain front do you like? Which one of your children do you like? Which one do you like best? And which one would you sacrifice to the oil and gas companies?
There's been enough concern locally and nationally to attract the attention of Congress. Montana Democrat Senator Max Baucus is trying to amend the Senate energy bill to include a swap of old leases on the front for leases elsewhere. And in comments at the Western Governor's meeting, the Interior Department's Watson put a different spin on what was earlier this summer an all-out push to open up all public lands.
We need this energy sooner rather than later. The Rocky Mountain front is still an area of huge contention. Let's go to work in these areas that are 60% available to leasing. I think that's where we've put our effort and focus, and I think that's where it needs to be right now.
Even so, there are some here on the front who've watched the industry come and go and come back again over the years. And Gene Sent says he's taking the BLM's latest directive real personal.
The Bush administration has told him to go get it, remove all the obstacles, and I'm the obstacle, one of them.
Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Shodo, Montana.